Okay, everybody. My name is Lee Willis, and I am a behavioral scientist at the CDC in the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. And as you can see, my presentation will be on the prevalence and correlates of sexual risk behaviors, HIV, and sexually transmitted infections among previously detained youth in an urban setting. So just to give a disclaimer, standard government disclaimer here, the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the views of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So just the background, correctional settings are very important institutions for the prevention of HIV and STI for a variety of reasons. For one, we know that there are risky behaviors that occur while individuals are incarcerated that could lead to infection. But also, I think this is something that's not always talked about, is that there are opportunities for prevention while individuals are incarcerated, such as, you know, raising awareness and just general education about sexual health. And the importance of prevention among incarcerated and recently released adults has really been recognized. And I know, like at CDC, we have a few programs such as Project START that have been developed to address this among adults. But we need to better understand the risk behaviors of youth who are detained and those who have been recently released in order to develop prevention activities for them. So why is it important to examine incarcerated youth? Well, we look also at this slide right here. And this basically talks about how, you know, really, if we're going to develop strategies and new things to prevent STIs and HIV for communities of color, we really do need to focus on individuals who are incarcerated. So we can see that here, you know, for example, African Americans, who represent only 13% of the population, are disproportionately incarcerated in terms of youth and adults. And just to underscore this a little bit more, why do prevention activities in incarcerated among incarcerated youth, rather? Looking at this data, the HIV/AIDS cases, we can see again that there's a disproportionate burden of HIV among people of color who are often incarcerated. The similar thing with actual AIDS cases among youth as well. And to go further, these are some slides that are available publicly about gonorrhea among individuals who are incarcerated in juvenile corrections facilities as of 2008. And this slide basically shows that among men and women, and the ages in the middle, we can see that there are definitely a number of individuals who do have gonorrhea and are incarcerated. Similar thing for chlamydia. You can see even more so with chlamydia, especially among women. Okay, so overall, this slide is just going to describe why, again, it's important for to do HIV prevention activities and STI prevention activities in incarcerated settings. We see that, you know, obviously, as I said earlier, HIV/STI risks occur while people are incarcerated. And, you know, the big thing here, though, is that many times in incarcerated settings, individuals don't have access to what, which prevents a lot of STIs and HIV?
Condoms,
exactly. You know, that's one of the things that definitely individuals do not have access to. Now, there are a lot of situations where people may try to do like a makeshift condom, you know, like a rubber glove, piece of plastic, something like that, but that obviously doesn't have the same level of protection as a condom does as well. So also the length of time incarcerated also will increase the risk. So then once that individual is released, you know, a lot of times when they've been incarcerated for so long and they've been denied, you know, sex and things like that, they will actually become more risky and have more sex once they're released and engage in substance abuse and things like that. All right, and then moving on, looking at the community, that may lead to the risks of contracting STI and HIV being more, more higher in the general community than actually being incarcerated, because you have these individuals who are, you know, coming home and are engaging in more risky behaviors. So the data set that we examined is the Northwestern Juvenile Project. It's a very unique project that we're fortunate to be a partner with these individuals at Northwestern University. But it's a cohort study of youth. These were youth who were aged 10 to 18 who were arrested and detained for juvenile delinquency between 1995 and 1998 at the Cook County Juvenile Detention Center in Chicago. And they've been stratified by race and gender and charge severity, so there are no differences there. And while 2,275 individuals were initially identified, roughly 1,800 agreed to participate and to complete an initial interview. So some of the risk measures in terms of HIV that are included in this survey are, have you had in the last 30 days more than three sexual partners? Have you had vaginal unprotected sex, unprotected oral sex, and unprotected anal sex? And these are asked of both men and women. Okay, so again, this is a very large longitudinal study, and the data that I'm going to be presenting on are just going to be the five-year post-baseline data. They also are currently doing a 10-year follow-up right now. But in looking at the race of the participants, overwhelmingly, it's Black and Hispanic primarily. And we did, we were able to obtain a subsample of individuals who were screened for STD and HIV at the four-year follow-up. And the overall prevalence among that group was about 6% overall. So overall, among the men who were interviewed at 5 years, and it was roughly about 1,000, we see that the median age was about 20. More than 11% had had more than three sexual partners. 43% had reported unprotected vaginal sex. Four had reported unprotected anal sex, and roughly 60% were back living in the community. They had been released. Okay, among females interviewed at 5 years, we see again the median age was 20. Roughly just under 3% had had more than three sexual partners in the last 3 months. 65% reported unprotected vaginal sex, and just under 3% again reported unprotected anal sex, but 95% of them were back in the community. So there's more of a tendency for the females to be back in the community as opposed to being reincarcerated again. So we looked at odds ratios that were conducted using STATA, and we compared incarcerated males, males who had been mostly, let me rephrase this, when we talk about incarcerated males for this study, we're referring to those males who had been mostly incarcerated within the last 3 months versus those who had not. So when we look at comparing incarcerated males and men in the community, we see that in the last 3 months, those men who were in the community were more likely to have more than three sexual partners, far more likely to engage in unprotected vaginal sex, unprotected oral sex, and unprotected anal sex as well. All right, and in terms of the significant results for females, we see that far more females were incarcerated in the last 3 months, only 30 versus roughly 500 that were back in the community, but they still were more likely to have unprotected vaginal sex, far more likely. Okay, so what does this tell us? Well, obviously, again, going back to what I said in the introduction, HIV prevention efforts are needed for incarcerated youth and for youth in the community, obviously, especially for males who tend to be more reincarcerated, at least in this sample, and that our prevention efforts should include a variety of different activities, community-based routine testing for HIV in the community, also educational activities, again, making people aware of the risk of STDs and STI in general, as well as HIV, and to have testing and treatment in the community. And another thing too that we could say is that, you know, perhaps it would be a good idea, I know it's still controversial, but to allow access to condoms and things like that in the actual correctional settings. But we'll just keep it brief. The funding agencies, we have a number of different funding agencies given that this is a very large project. We have the NIDA, we have OJ, JDP, CDC, NIA, National Center for Minority Health Disparities, NIMH, and just a number of different agencies. So we'll have questions and comments later, but thank you for listening to my presentation.